Hey, John.
Hey, Nick.
This isn't a bit. I just Googled George Washington jokes, and the first one that popped up, I don't understand it. So I'm hoping this still feels like a bit, but I don't understand it.
Yeah.
In what way was George Washington like a monster?
Like a monster? Okay, please.
In no way, thankfully.
What?
That's the first joke.
Okay, good. And this is stranger still.
They didn't even throw in the fact that, like, he mistreated his slaves.
He wasn't a monster in any way. Good.
Welcome to Stranger Still,
a podcast where we learn things about stuff that I didn't even know.
Yeah, like you didn't even know your name was John
Began, which is my name, John Began,
and my name is Nick Wood.
Okay, a little bit of a rough and tumble start, but we're gonna get there.
Probably is perfect.
Yeah, spray a little WD-40 on our joints.
God, that's so weird that you mentioned that. Like, no one mentions WD-40 for like 5 years in my life, and then I go out and buy some yesterday, and now it's all people will talk about.
Oh, I got a pop-up ad for it when you bought it.
Really?
In my brain.
Our cookies
are synced.
Yeah, that's what it is. How's it going, man?
A little less miserable than the day before. That's the goal, right?
Yeah, I guess you're right. Welcome to 2020. Every day is a little less miserable.
Mm-hmm. Mm, not always.
That's true.
But you're listening to this, which means that you have electricity, right? That's
it's
good.
True. We're on our way to a normal, quote-unquote, life, but we're ignoring all the bad stuff that's happening and going back to when things were just so calm and peaceful and life was great and nothing bad ever happened.
What, ancient Egypt? Are you talking about what we're talking about? Yeah, there's nothing it's painful or miserable about ancient Egypt.
Yeah. Well, not just ancient Egypt. Nothing bad ever happened in colonial times or America was getting its independence or...
Wait, hold on 1 second.
Yeah.
Welcome, strangers still. This is John Began. I just want to get a clean cut of this. This is John Began. I am your only single host since Nick got canceled last week. We're saying nothing bad happened during the colonial times. Today, our topic... I'm sorry. Could you just not laugh over while?
Oh,
I'm...
Sorry.
Okay, thanks. Did you? Okay.
Well, keep going.
Well,
if you're gonna do the bit, you got to commit to it.
I didn't prep any work, but let's finish this episode first. We'll figure it out next week.
Well, today I have 5 historical misconceptions for everyone out there. I figured we could take something totally not problematic. Why do I have to say that? There's tons of problematic stuff in here. But we're trying to have fun this week. So I figured we would try to blow your mind with 5 historical misconceptions that will blow your mind. I'm a BuzzFeed article.
Sorry, I started daydreaming about if I had a robot sidekick when I was in high school. And he would solve all my math problems and I would call him problematic.
I had no idea where that was going. I was like gearing up to make a joke about you won't walk around with calculators in your pockets, because that's what all the teachers told us. Anyway, John, who built the pyramids?
The Egyptians.
Wrong. Oh,
wow.
You're right. Okay, sorry. I thought you were going to say slaves. Who in Egypt built the pyramids, John?
The citizens of Egypt.
Ah, crap. Well,
the slaves, Nick. The slaves built the pyramids. Okay, thanks.
We've talked about pyramids before in our Pyramid Powers episode, if you guys remember that. For those that don't know, the pyramids of Egypt were these giant tombs constructed around 5,000 years ago. Some of them were hundreds of feet tall, the tallest one being the Great Pyramid of Giza, which was 481 feet tall, or 146.5 meters.
I thought you were going to say, or foots tall.
Or foots tall. This pyramid... came up in the Pyramid Power episode because it's supposedly the right proportions to give you healing properties, and also supposedly it was built by slaves without wheels, right? They didn't have wheel technology, and the slaves had to push all these giant limestones up
on triangles with a hole in the middle.
Well, since it's a part of this episode, we already know it's false, and also I screamed false like 4 times 30 seconds ago.
Yep, but just like George Washington's teeth, and we've come full circle.
We can't come full circle. We haven't got there
yet. You know
yet.
What George Washington used to scream false? What? His false teeth, Nicholas.
So, John, where do you think the myth of slaves building the pyramids came from?
Big Pharma? I mean, I didn't have much time to give it thought. Where did the myth come from of slaves building the pyramids?
Yeah. I know. It's tough, right? Well, what if I told you that an ancient Grecian, Herodotus, had perhaps mentioned that they were built by slaves, and for a long time, that was the prevailing thought. That was right on the tip of your tongue, right?
Yeah, Herodotus.
Yeah.
Just watched Hereditary, so, yeah.
I don't remember a darn thing about that movie, except I thought it was goofy. So that was the prevailing thought for a long time. Then in 1977, it was kind of, I guess, solidified in people's minds when the Prime Minister of Israel, and I think that you'll find this guy's name interesting, it's Menachem Begin.
Mm.
That's probably not how you pronounce it, but it's spelled like that.
How do you spell the last name, Nicholas?
Begin.
Okay, okay. So my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa.
Yeah, just spelled differently. They changed it at Ellis Island. Anyway, he said that the pyramids were built by the Jewish people who had been enslaved, and this line of thought likely came from none other than the Bible. There's this passage in the Bible talks about Egyptians enslaving, quote, the children of Israel, a.k.a. Jewish people, and putting them to work. And likely, I mean, they probably did, but if they did enslave Jewish people, they were building buildings, not pyramids, because there were no Jewish people around when the Egyptians were building pyramids.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty cut and dry. You can't get much clearer than that. But here's the actual truth, John. In the 1990s, a tourist was out in Egypt enjoying the sights and came upon a grave site around the Pyramid of Giza. And upon further investigation, archaeologists...
You're going to tell me that there was a mummy that had HR paperwork wrapped up in him.
Just wait for this next... No, I'm just kidding. The archaeologists realized that these were the tombs of people that had worked on the pyramids. So at the time, archaeologists and Egyptologists said, well, why would they entomb slaves? Like, you don't pay respects to slaves, obviously. So why would you put slaves in graves? That's my next rap. So then, okay. In 2010... The dig into that burial site expanded, and they found even more skeletons preserved in wrappings, as well as jars that once contained beer and bread meant for the workers' afterlife. So if they were slaves, not only would they not entomb them, they wouldn't try to preserve their bodies.
But they literally got that bread.
But they got that bread.
Yeah.
They if they were slaves, they wouldn't have given them bread and beer for the afterlife. So it's the prevailing thought now that the people that built the pyramids were just, they were paid workers and probably well respected since they were given things for the afterlife. But the myth had gone on for so long, like Hollywood made it the prevailing thought. It's hard to pull back on something like that. But
that's pretty eye-opening, or not eye-opening, but shocking, I would say.
Yeah.
Just because I'm sure there are terrible things that happened back then, too, and it's not to belittle and say, oh, no, they were all great, and all their workers had dental care, unlike George Washington, who didn't. But...
You're in love with George Washington's teeth.
You just got a razz on that guy, you know? Yeah.
I think it's funny the things that you...
He put us in this mess of a country, huh?
It's his fault.
Yeah.
If you really go back to it, our problems started in 1776. Jeez. Speaking of slaves, you've heard of George Washington, right?
Excuse me? Yes, I have. Yes, I have heard of George Washington.
You've heard that he cut down some sort of tree?
Cherry tree.
That's what it was.
Right,
sorry.
Correct.
Well, yeah. This is what MountVernon.org has to say about that. They say, in the original story, when Washington was 6 years old, sorry, for our international listeners, I should also say that George Washington was our first president, and there's this story that like he cut down a cherry tree, and his father was so happy that he was honest. So here's the original story. When Washington was 6 years old, he received a hatchet as a gift and damaged his father's cherry tree.
It's a great book. I don't think it was written back then, though, so you might want to fact check that.
Yeah. You read up on Hatchet by Dave... What's his name? It's not even Dave.
Silverstein.
Shel Silverstein. When his father discovered what he had done, he became angry and confronted him. Young George bravely said, "I cannot tell a lie." He had a very deep voice for a six-year-old.
Yeah, for a six-year-old? Jesus.
I did cut it with my hatchet.
It must have been those wooden teeth always vibrating like the lower tones of his vocal cords.
Right. I did cut it with my hatchet. Washington's father embraced him and rejoiced that his son's honesty was worth more than 1,000 trees. This one's super easy. George Washington had died in 1799, and people wanted to learn more about his life. So this bookseller and probably snake oil salesman named George... he wasn't named George Washington. I didn't write his name down because I didn't want to talk about the damn guy. but I wrote George Washington here and thought that was his name. Anyway, this snake oil salesman wrote a biography about George Washington and made this up to make George Washington seem just incredibly virtuous.
Wow.
Like he's totally flawless, definitely didn't keep slaves, had disgusting teeth.
So you could just make stuff up about history?
Yeah, dude. Literally 1800 when he wrote that book, probably.
Okay.
Fake news, am I right?
Yeah, it's pre-Snopes.
Yeah, the problem is, like, especially way back in the day, when something gets stuck in people's heads, it's really hard to pull back on it, isn't it?
Yep, just like an axe in a cherry tree.
Right, but you know what's not hard to pull back on, John? That's right, wigs.
Wigs?
Yeah.
Yeah, those are pretty easy to yank off your head.
Yeah, I know. When you think back to colonial America and all the founding fathers, what was on their head, John?
Big white powdery baby powder Johnson & Johnson wigs.
Yeah,
fella.
All of them were wearing it, weren't they?
It sounds like you're leading me into a trap.
Well, no. Powdered wigs were all the rage in the 1700s. They were as popular as JNCO jeans and Tommy Hilfiger shirts are today.
Yeah.
And Tamagotchis and Pokemans and... What were some other things that aren't popular? Pogs. They're like pogs, dude.
Why don't you Pokemon Go to the point, Nick?
I'm just chilling here in Cedar Rapids. Other things Hillary Clinton said. Everyone was wearing powdered wigs, right?
Yeah.
Wrong.
Nick, oh, yeah. Okay. Great.
This one's really
I'm just a domino to you.
I know. Dude, we found a toad and it had spots on it, and we tried to get Rory to name it something cool like Domino or... it's like Treeford or something because he looked like a tree. And Rory's like, "How about we name it Dots?" I was like, "Come on, you could do better." I shame my child. So this one's like super simple, but it gives us an excuse to talk about powdered wigs, which you know I'm always itching for. But obviously, because this is on our list, not everybody wore.
Were they itchy? Is that what you're itching for them?
No.
You probably don't have to dry your hair as much.
We'll get to it.
Okay. Dry shampoo.
Obviously not everyone was wearing these. They were fashionable, but apparently only 5% of people wore them back in the day. They were pretty expensive. You could get one for as cheap as 25 shillings, which is about as much as one person would make in a week.
5% of everyone?
Yeah.
Nick, that's the amount I save on my Target Red Card. That's not very many people. I only get like $5 back on a big purchase.
How much they pay you to say that, though?
Well,
priceless. That's a different,
yeah.
So you could get one for as cheap as 25 shillings, which is about a week's worth of wages, but they could get as expensive as 800 shillings, or in today's money, that's about 10,000 pounds or $13,000 for a powdered wig.
Mm.
But there was a reason that people would spend that much, because if you, back in the day, pedigree in humans was, I don't know, very... Jeez, I gotta dance around this.
People were gross, Nick.
People were gross, and if you had a good hairline, that meant that you came from a strong family. Does that make sense, what I'm getting at here?
Dance a little harder.
Well, remember how the royal family was really into familial
genealogy?
Relations?
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
And
yeah.
They didn't come from strong families?
Okay.
Part of that was, what I'm getting at is a good hairline was the sign of being a strong human being and coming from a strong family. And at some point, there were several kings, after plenty of familial relations, didn't have very good genetics. And there was a King Louis XIV. He began balding at the age of 17, which luckily is after I started balding. But he was like, oh my God, people aren't going to trust me anymore. So he had wig makers make him a wig. But it wasn't just any wig. It was a powdered wig because of reasons that we'll get into. But God, I'm dancing around things that I don't have to dance around anymore. But we've talked about this before. As soon as royalty does something, everyone else wants to do it. The public wants in on it. Yeah. So it was solidified in fashion when his cousin decided he wanted one too for his to hide his prematurely graying hair. Now, as it turns out, in Europe at the time, there was something going around called syphilis. Have you heard of it?
Yeah, I think I've heard of it.
They didn't have antibiotics.
Wasn't he
back
on
then.
Sesame Street? Snifflificus?
Yeah, he was the big brown elephant looking guy, and he talked good. Like this.
Loved him. I used to eat Brussels sprouts because of him.
Oh,
that's good. My mom. Real.
Well, good on your mom. Good on Linda. It's her name, right?
I think so. Oh, no.
So, anyway, they didn't have antibiotics back then, so syphilis was STDs like syphilis were running rampant. And one of the side effects of syphilis, is if it goes untreated, is dementia, rashes and sores, blindness, and, of course, prematurely graying hair and hair loss. So they became powdered because they started putting lavender, sometimes powdered orange, in these wigs to cover up any weird smells that might come with all the sores and all the rashes and stuff.
Oh.
And that's where you get powdered wigs from.
Great, thanks.
Eventually, they fell out of fashion because people began powdering their own hair for cheaper. They probably didn't have as much syphilis or horrible genetics. And then by the 1800s, short hair just became more popular. So it completely fell out of fashion after like 100 years. So
now, Nick, I am doing a little bit of research here just because I want to make sure that we're covering both sides of this issue. And I'm trying to see when the Merkins were first invented. And I think it might have been around the same time. I see some stuff about 1550 with mercury poisoning and syphilis made hair fall out, but I don't know if that's true. I'm going to go with around the same time.
I can't believe we've been able to talk about Merkins on this show.
Yeah. Make sure to subscribe to our Patreon where you can hear us not dance around
month,
issues.
Next month, it's exclusive. Our bonus episode is exclusively Merkin talk.
Yeah.
Can we stop talking about Merkins now?
This is American... America.
Hey, full circle. You pulled it off. I didn't think you'd be able to stick the landing, but 10 out of 10.
Well, powdered Merkin does the trick. Let's continue.
I don't have a transition for this next one, so just deal with it. Thomas Edison was a man.
Oh, can you do that better? Can you say, you know what, Nick? I mean, you know what, John? I've got an idea.
Yeah.
Ding! And then you have a light bulb above your head.
Well, people can't see this, so if I went ding and then put my hand above my head and
I'm sorry, I thought you were a poet of the word.
A poet of the word.
Maybe multiple in a row.
Clearly you aren't, am I right? So Thomas Edison, you've heard of the guy. He probably deserves his own episode. But for now, you're stuck with the totally real fact that he was the first person to invent the what, John?
I'm thinking about it. Oh, ding! See, it works.
Hey!
It works every time. The light bulb, Nicholas.
Yeah,
the light bulb.
Supposedly Thomas, the light bulb.
He definitely did. You're not leading me into a trap.
What if I
We're just
going to
cover
you.
The history of the light bulb now.
Thomas Edison's light bulb was invented in 1879. But you know what came before that?
The idea?
A light bulb invented by Humphrey Davy in 1802. A full 77 years before Thomas Edison came up with a light bulb.
Dang. So, he didn't do it. But Thomas Edison invented the copyright, so...
Right. He did have like 1,800 patents or 1,600 patents or something stupid like that.
Well, he used to have patent houses, right? They would just make stuff up and they'd take credit for it.
He had invention factories, much like IBM does their stuff today.
Good.
But when Humphrey Davy invented the light bulb, they weren't super practical, so they mostly just replaced like streetlights that had gas in them, and they were super expensive. So, of course, now we have like compact fluorescent, we have LED bulbs, but back in my day, all we had was incandescent bulbs. And if you don't know what that is, like, it's this bulb with a filament in it. The electricity flows through the bulb, heats up and excites the filament, and it glows, and you have light. So throughout the early years, there were several attempts in light bulbs to make a filament out of platinum. They tried vacuum sealing bulbs so that the oxygen wouldn't ruin the filament. They tried paper filaments. All of these were too expensive, unwieldy, hard to replace, and none of these were economically viable until 77 years later, a man named Thomas Edison single-handedly came up with the first economic viable light bulb. Just kidding. He was a monster thief. He had, like we mentioned before, invention labs where he had people just testing out different possible filaments. Over several years, they tested over 6,000 materials to replace the filament in a light bulb.
You're giving me flashbacks, man. Pun is intended on that. To that time I ate a light bulb.
Is there more to that?
Oh, I thought it was filament. Trying to get some good breath.
You went to Olive Garden and got some of those Andes mints. Eventually, they found that carbonized bamboo worked just fine, thus the economical light bulb was born. And in case you're wondering, these days they're usually made out of tungsten wire, but there you have it. I mean, so I won't give him credit for the first light bulb. I will give him credit for, and his team of researchers, credit for the first economic light bulb. To that, okay. He has earned the rights to.
What else did he do?
Oh, he did a lot of stuff. He killed elephants.
All right. Did he have wooden teeth?
No, he did not. He invented wooden teeth.
Probably.
After Washington he didn't have wooden teeth. Dang it, we need to talk. Didn't we talk about how he didn't have wooden teeth?
I don't know. I think he definitely had Merkin though, right?
Oh, George Washington was totally working the Merkin.
All right.
Oh, God.
Subscribe to Patreon for our Working American bonus episode.
That's the name of my second rap. It goes Slaves and Graves and Working American.
Okay.
But John,
good luck on SoundCloud.
If Humphrey Davy had never invented the light bulb, it would have made ninjas' lives way easier, right?
Made ninjas' lives?
Yeah.
Yeah, because if he did invent the light bulb, you mean?
If he didn't.
Oh, if he didn't invent the light bulb. Yeah, that would have been...
Because, like, they always dress in black all the time.
I don't know.
They become one with the shadow.
I mean, it would be really hard to play Fortnite in the dark, though.
You got me there.
Yeah. And Ninja loves playing Fortnite.
It's... Is he on Facebook now? Or is he on YouTube?
I don't know.
Poor Ninja. He's had a rough go of things.
Yeah, his poor billionaire Ninja. Wake up in the morning, go to work. Jeez.
Play fork knife. Yeah. So, for those that don't know, ninjas are these warriors that dress in all black all the time. They become one with the shadow. They sneak up behind their enemy, cut their head off, wear their face like a serial killer, right?
Excuse me? I've never heard any of this stuff except for the shadows. Because Bane told me.
So, John.
That's where he was born.
I was born in them. Do I have a can around here? Hang on. I was born in them.
Wow.
I know. Method actor. So, John, describe a ninja, not Ninja the streamer, describe a ninja's outfit for me and our audience.
Okay. You know when you go outside and you see another person in 2020? Uh-huh. They looked like that. Everybody kind of looks like a ninja today.
Wearing masks and stuff.
But they also had like a cool head version. So it's like if you put two masks and you only showed your little bitty eyes.
Yeah.
And like a little bit of your face, like a little bit, and you snuck around and you threw your little stars at people.
Yeah, those are called shurikens. But
and you walked on the tips of your feet.
Yeah,
the outside.
And you made like little noises when you did that.
Like a little Scooby Twinkle Toe.
Yeah. So first of all, John, you're totally wrong. Ninjas hardly ever wore black. Ninjas, apparently, they'd wear dark blue or this article said yellowish red. I don't know that they've ever heard of the color orange, but that's what they're describing.
So what would this yellowish red look like?
Almost like the fruit. Ah, dang, what's it called?
An auburn.
Yeah, there you go.
They would favorite wear citron.
So they would wear dark blue if they needed to blend in with the night, or they would wear the orange color because that's what color farmers would wear at the time.
Yeah.
So they would.
I mean, and this is just because of evolution. All the ninjas that wore those in the Arctic didn't do so great.
They stuck out like a sore thumb.
They stuck out like an auburn citron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they would want to, if their cover was compromised, they would want to look like a farmer so no one would suspect them. So they would wear that orangish color. Sometimes under it, they would put chain hemp, which is like chain mail, but made out of hemp.
Nice.
Or chain mail specifically. But these would only be worn if they're having a fight because they were super heavy and compromises their mobility and sneakiness. But you mentioned before...
Sneakiness.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let that sneak by.
Nah. So you mentioned before they wore hoods,
mm-hmm.
but they hardly ever wore hoods unless they needed to conceal their identity. Because think about when you wear a mask today in the year 2019... if someone's like, hey, nice shirt, I have to like pull my mask away and be like, what the hell am I wearing? Because I can't see anything. Imagine if you had a mask all around your head. You wouldn't be able to see a damn thing. It's like going out on Halloween.
You can't see your shirt when you wear a mask? You should go to the doctor. What are you talking about?
The mask is in the way. It's not in my periphery.
The periphery?
Yeah, the band.
Oh, how do you know periphery?
It's a long story. No, get Boga if you want the real answer.
Okay.
Anyway, so if ninjas were wearing dark blue or a mask, that was a tiny percentage of the time. You can't wear... So ninjas were masters of disguise, and they were spies. And if they needed to infiltrate something or sink into a crowd if they were discovered... You couldn't do that wearing the black hooded suit. You, like you said, in the Arctic, you'd mm-hmm. stick out like a sore thumb. So they ninjas dressed to blend in. This one article put it really nicely. They said, during the Warring States period, this is in Japan, and the Endo period in Japan, there existed barriers at every prefectural boundary, and a ninja could pass right through without a disguise. He had to behave completely like the person he was disguised as, for example, as a samurai, a merchant, a farmer, a priest, a street performer, a sick person, a blind man, a handicapped man, and so on. A snuffleupagus. I don't know why they put that in here. To do so, it's not enough for a ninja only to wear the right clothes. He had to acquire all kinds of attributes which belonged to the model of his disguise.
Yeah, like eating Brussels sprouts.
Yeah, they were, for instance, the knowledge, speech, gestures, sex, age, and so on of that person. So you say something about umbrellas? I wasn't listening.
No.
Oh, okay.
It said Brussels sprouts.
Brussels sprouts. That
That's
sounds like
umbrella. Eats. Yeah.
So, they would just wear normal ass clothes, or they'd put stuff on their face to look like other people. They were like
no
Dana
normal
Carvey.
Ass clothes, like jeans. Is yeah. that what you mean?
Okay. Jinko jeans.
Yeah.
They were just masters of disguise, like Dana Carvey. So one interesting thing is if they had to go to war, they dressed very similar to a samurai, but they had their suit was foldable, unlike a samurai's. Because again, if they might have to go spy somewhere, they couldn't wear that to go sneak up on people. Despite the fact that ninjas don't wear black, that's cool, whatever. It also made me realize there aren't enough movies about ninjas being spies. The ninja movies are always about them being turtles or fighting or both. It's never about them like sneaking in and like James Bonding the whole thing, you know? So enough about Naruto. That's all I have for this week. Got anything else?
George Washington didn't have wooden teeth.
Yeah, we talked about that.
I wanted to make it the fifth thing we covered.
Yeah, well, that's the sixth thing we've covered.
Right. Well, we're going to, the CX.
When did we talk about that? I thought it was on our lies teachers told you. Oh, we did two episodes of lies teachers told you. It might have been on the first one. I don't know. That's all I got. Do you want to take a quick break and we'll be right back?
Yeah. And then we could discuss why when you search ninja movies on Google, 99% of the results are Ninja Turtles.
Hey, John.
Hey, Nick.
Oh, wait, that's how we open the episodes.
And this is Stranger Still.
Where can people find us?
StrangerStillShow.com.
You sure can.
You can also leave us a review on the iTunes.
On the iTunes.
Now, you probably listen to podcasts. If you listen to this podcast, you probably listen to other people's podcasts.
Uh-huh.
And you always hear them say, oh, leave us a review. Smash that like button. Yeah. Make sure to subscribe. Which is funny enough, I started a new job and that's how they ended the video chat for the meeting today was make sure to like and subscribe because it was just so funny.
Oh,
but anyway, it's important. It actually helps. And that's why everybody does that, because that's how you find shows and that's how they grow. And what more would you want than to plant a little strangest little seed and watch us blossom into beautiful flower boys?
That's what I'm talking about. I wasn't paying attention because I was at patreon.com/strangerstill looking at all the different tiers that we have available.
By Glade? Because you're plugging.
Good one. For $1 a month, dudes, you can, not only will you get a shout out on our show, you also get access to our Discord. And that's where we're going to put like behind the scenes stuff and polls and stuff for things that you want to listen to. And then for $5 a month, you can listen to all of the bonus episodes we've ever made for anything ever. And I think that there's 28 up right now.
Yeah, that's a lot. Like a whole, that's like, could we safely say you could listen to it right now when you start this and then the same time tomorrow, 24 hours later, be done?
Probably.
Roughly?
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, some of them are 15 minutes. Some of them are like an hour. So it just kind of depends. I honestly, none of them have descriptions. They'll start having descriptions going forward because those descriptions have been lost to time. And then for $10 a month, we'll send you a shirt that John made.
Yeah.
John made some t-shirt designs and we're going to send those
out.
No
one's ever worn one, Nicholas.
No one ever.
No one's ever worn one.
Yeah.
I mean, the one that you get, no one's going to have worn it before you do, hopefully.
Yeah. So I would shout out our current patrons, but I haven't asked them how they would like to be addressed on the show. So I don't want to just like dox them. So I'm not going to do that right now. But
just give their addresses without their names.
But John, since you brought it up, what's your favorite Ninja Turtle?
Raphael, obviously.
Why?
Because he wears red and that's like the only color I can see. And
you can't see
I used to like his cool little knives and his tough guy attitude, you know?
I never liked his tough guy attitude.
Maybe now that I'm adult, I think he's an arrogant jerk, but
right.
You know.
He just never appealed to me. My favorite has and always will be Donatello. I love the bow staff. Favorite color is purple. And then in the new ones, I don't know if you've like kept up to date with all the new Ninja Turtle stuff going on. He's like the inventor. He's the smart one.
Oh yeah, I think I've seen
some
animations of that stuff.
So he's pretty sweet. Do you enjoy the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle films?
You know, Nicholas, I'm not sure if I do anymore. Oh. As far as ninja movies, I'm trying to go through this list and a lot of this is bogus. I mean, there's got to be really good ninja movies. I mean, Mortal Kombat's on here 3 times.
Yeah.
And Mortal Kombat's a great movie, but I don't know it. Annihilation and...
Those were...
Scorpion's Revenge. Oh, some of these are animated. That's what's going on.
Yeah, they made some newer ones when like the newest games came out. They made like short films or something. But anyway, sorry, now I'm looking at Ninja Turtles too. Now everyone listening to this is listening to Ninja Turtles. There's a Batman and Ninja Turtle comic that I kind of want to read, but I haven't, so that's the end of that sentence. I think that's it for this week. What do you think?
Hey, I think that's pretty good, fella.
All right. Well, in that case, I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
And this is Stranger Still.